Psalm 103. And we'll read from the first verse to the very end of the chapter. Psalm 103. And it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and healed all your diseases, who redeemed your life from the pit and crowned you with love and compassion, who satisfied your desire with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord worked righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembered it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the passage that we read together? Psalm 103. Now, this is the true story. It's the true story of a young man called George. And he was brought up in rural Kenya. He came from a loving but not well-off family. His parents had worked very hard for him and tried their best to get him into a good education. They scraped and they saved so that George was able to go to school and then move on to university. At last, the day arrived when George would pass, he would graduate, and his parents looked forward to that wonderful day. Their best clothes were ill-fitting and old-fashioned. And they went to see their son get his degree. They could think of no greater honor than to stand beside their son and be introduced as his parents. But George had changed since his time at university. He made lots of friends who came from rich, influential Kenyan society. And when he saw his parents amid the assembled crowd, shabbily dressed, he was embarrassed. He turned his back on them and he walked away as if he had never known them. What ingratitude. George's parents did all to make sure that he got a good education, and look what they received. Ingratitude, no remembering, no thanks. And if we look at this psalm very, very carefully, this is a psalm which reminds you and I today of the importance of counting our blessings and giving thanks to God. It is a psalm written by David when he himself reflects on the goodness of God. And he tells his soul, he tells himself, not to forget any of the Lord's benefits. And if we look very carefully at verses 1 to 5, we see very clearly that God had done wonderful things in David's life, and David gives thanks to God for them. And the rest of the psalm, if you read it very carefully, is, if I may put it, a catalogue of many of the best things that God had done for David. And as we, as it were, glance over David's shoulder as he writes this psalm, there are good things for you and I this morning to hear, because we should not forget the Lord's benefits. We must cultivate, now in all this I'm speaking to myself first, we must cultivate an attitude of thankfulness, because it is so easy to reflect on the hard thing we are going through, focusing on the negatives, with all along we forget it is God who is sustaining us, it is God who is keeping us, it is God who is giving us many things we have long since forgotten. But by remembering them, we are guarding ourselves from complacency and keeping ourselves dependent upon God himself. And this psalm, Psalm 103, is so helpful to us because it focuses away from ourselves onto the God who has saved us and is keeping us. So as we look at this psalm this morning, we will see three things which we need to remember. And the first one is, in verses 8 to 12, never forget God's mercy to you. Never forget God's mercy to you. And we see that in David's life, one of the things that David knew very, very well was the character of God himself. And the reason he knew it, God had revealed it way back in the days of Moses. And so if you read Exodus 34 and 6, God said to Moses the exact same words as he said to David, if you look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And these characteristics and works of God were something that the people of Israel knew, and David also knew. Now that comes across very clearly in verses 8 to 10. And David came to know this truth for real about God in his life. David himself, he experienced the mercy
and the compassion of God. And this truth should be an amazing, incredible truth for you and I today. And if you think about it like this, God must have amazing patience to deal with people like us. For so often we are ungrateful. So often we are unloving ourselves. And if you were to sit down for a few moments and think of the story of the children of Israel, time and time again we read of rebellion, we read of complaints against God, we read of the children of Israel rejecting God, sinning against God. But we also read God patiently withholding his justice, having compassion on them. And if we were to consider David's life, his life is a catalogue of failure, sinning against God, sometimes in terrible ways. For example, like committing adultery with Bathsheba, then murdering her husband Uriah. And what did David deserve? He deserved death. And what about our own lives? And yet, David says in verses 8 to 9, the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. And in verse 10, if you read verse 10, David goes a step further. Because not only does he say that God does not treat us as our sin deserves, but that he actually deals with sin once for all. And that comes across in verses 11 to 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. And I think it's amazing. Not only does God withhold his justice from us and show his mercy to us, but he deals with our wrongdoing. In David's language, and if we could put it in our language today, God puts it away from us as far as the east is from the west, as far as you can get. Amazing. God had totally dealt with our sin. Now, if David knew the reality of God's forgiveness, then we have the privilege of, as it were, living the other side of the event when God fully dealt with our sin. Because it was on the cross, all our sin was fully paid for. David says, God is merciful, God is forgiving, and he will not treat us as our sin deserve. He will not punish. He has provided a way for us to be forgiven. On the cross, as we know, Jesus took our sin, our guilt, our penalty. And that can only mean one thing. That is mercy. Not giving us what we deserve. And what is that? Separation from God. But giving us grace that we don't deserve. What is that? Forgiveness. I'm sure most of you have read a book or books on John Newton. And if you haven't read it, I would recommend that you go down to one of the bookshops and buy a good book on the life of John Newton. And John Newton was a man who knew these truths only too well. And he is a wonderful example of God's grace at work in a life. And by John Newton's own admission, he said that he was the lowest of the low, a wretch of a man, hating God and everything to do with God. He was a slave trader. He was cruel. And he said himself that his whole life was a complete mess. And yet, on a slave ship, in a storm coming back with a cargo of slaves, he experienced the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And he knew it. And he wrote, as we all know, "Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me." And you and I this morning, we should be amazed at the love of God shown in the cross. It was for us. Don't forget the Lord's benefits, did David. And one of his precious benefits is his mercy to us in the Lord Jesus. Never forget God's mercy to us. Now, if you read verses 13 to 18 in the psalm, there's something else that David says, never forget. He said, never forget God's love for you. And that comes across in verses 13 to 18. He says that God's love is like a father's love for his son or his daughter. And that's the kind of love God shows to his people. He is like a devoted father. And what is more, he loves us despite our weaknesses. Now, if you will read verses 14 to 16 carefully, you will see there that David reminds us that life is short and fragile. We are all dust, and our days are numbered. We are like the flowers of the field, here today and gone tomorrow. Life is very fragile. And we are so, and yet there is one who cares, the living God. David says in verses 17 to 18, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precept." And reading those verses, do you see David's point? He had just said, we human beings are fragile. And in spite of that, God loves us, we who fear him and keep his command. And while the world ignores you and I, while others ignore us, God does not. We may feel insignificant. We may feel unloved. Yet we are loved by the very one who matters, the one who made us, God himself. And that is a crucial lesson to take to heart. It is often very easy to forget just how prejudiced you and I are in God's eyes. Some of us, if we're honest, have a low opinion of ourselves. And we struggle to see any good in ourselves. Maybe we feel lonely and neglected. But the wonderful thing is we can be sure of God's everlasting love for us. He loves us more than we can ever imagine. He loves us far more deeply than we can fathom, if I may put it that way. He will never give us up. His love will not run out. There is no end to God's love. It is everlasting. Love that we see on the cross. And many of God's people today have testified that in the toughest of situations, the thing that had brought them through is the knowledge of the love of God. And it is as we grow in understanding of the love of God for us, we will mature more and more spiritually. David says to you and I this morning, don't forget the Lord's benefits. And one of these is his precious love for us. Don't forget God's love for you, for us. And one final blessing that David rejoices in is in verse 19, where it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, if you read that, this is a reassuring blessing, because it is easy to think that as we look at our world, that there's no one in charge. Seems as if chaos reigns, and we see that on the television. Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and so on. It seems to be that evil is winning. There is one who is sits on the throne, and that is the living God. He rules, he is in control. And the fact that you and I today live in, I hope I'm right in saying it the way I'm putting it, but the fact that we live in an ordered and structured world is a mark of God's grace. And the fact that the gospel, the fact that the word of God, the Bible, continues to be known in the world, continues to flourish in the world, is a mark of God's grace. He is in charge, and his plan is being carried out to the T. Now, in all the ups and downs of our personal lives, in the ups and downs of the world at large, it is vital to have this perspective that God is on the throne. And unless we do, we will despair and give up. But we needn't. God is in control, and God is on his throne. He will not be put off. He will not abdicate. God will always be on his throne and in control. Now, it may be for all of us, we may not know, understand everything that happened to us, that happened to our loved one. We may not be able to grasp why things happen as they do. But God has the bigger picture, and his plan and purpose can never be defeated. His promises are certain, cannot be undone. God can be trusted. Our God today can be trusted both in the affairs of the world and in our own personal lives. Never forget, said David, God rule over you. And we have seen this morning three wonderful blessings in this psalm. And as I was talking to Clifford this morning, he said, are you going to do the whole psalm? And I said, no. So you can go home and you can read it, and you can see there are many more blessings, there are many more benefits in the psalm. And all too often, I speak to myself first, all too often it's easy to forget, never giving thanks, never remembering all the good things that God had done for us. And David, as it were, urged you and I this morning to remember, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of difficulty, the many good things that come from God's hand. You and I this morning must say with David, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. As you go into the week ahead, all of us, as we go into the week ahead, be it work, whatever, let's not never forget God's mercy to us, God's love for us, and God's rule over us. Amen.